Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. You can always watch the Triple Option, actually. You go to hornfm.com. It's pretty easy. And you can tap into the Twitch stream there. It is the Bat edition of the Triple Option, the Bat Tuesday edition of the Triple Option with RBKD. We play songs from our sister station, The Bat. You also can follow us via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My man BK at Brad Kellner. And Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01 in the Twitterverse. All right, gentlemen. As we just said last segment, we went over it. 39 days till Texas football kicks off the season. And now you have all of the preseason award watch lists that are slowly trickling out. And there are some Longhorns getting some love on some of these preseason award watch lists.
Did you make any this year?
No.
Okay, because they usually put a lot of people on there. This time of year.
They might have mistaken. I did see sometime they put guys on there twice.
Did they really?
They put players on there on some of these lists. They put them on there twice. So these lists are so damn long, people don't even notice that they put a player right on there multiple times.
How does that happen?
Just because some guy, you know, who's ever doing it, just made a mistake.
You got to fact check that guy.
You would think.
I mean, just control F and see how many times you've put a person's name on the list.
There you go. Some people don't know about control F.
Do you know about control F?
No. My first time hearing about it.
Really?
Yeah, but I'll fact check on my own.
I've controlled
look
left.
It up. Mm-hmm. But I haven't controlled F ever.
No, find and replace, great feature on Microsoft Word.
There you go. See? Everybody doesn't know about it.
Big hack for the kids out there. I got you, kids. Yeah. See, everything I do is for the kids.
Yeah, right.
I'm looking out for you guys.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't have that job, though, if you don't know about.
For college papers, all the punctuation marks, you would control F, do find and replace, and you would increase the size of the punctuation on your papers to add a little bit of extra length.
Wow.
To your essays.
Every man knows a little extra length ain't
hurt
anybody.
Well done.
A little period
helps
here.
That's a guy who's getting married this weekend.
A little extra length. Mm. Yeah, always a good thing. You know, every inch counts.
Did Mark Jackson mean this? Was he talking about like marriage and people giving themselves up to marriage when he said this?
Mama, Biggles and men.
Is he saying goodbye to single guys with that one?
This single guy, independent Rod, according to Uncle Sam. But next time you guys talk to me, after today, I'll be a married man. Mm-hmm. I'll be a changed man forever. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it'll feel different. We'll see. I'll let you guys know.
Yeah, I want to know.
I give you the 411. I know you guys are reluctant to jump into that pool.
Hey, it's got
to
be the right woman. You found yours.
That is true.
So
I tried to wait as long as I could.
You did.
I waited out. She's a patient woman, damn it. Give it up for her.
Yeah.
All right. Longhorn fans are impatient, growing impatient, waiting for the season. 39 days to the kick off the season. Preseason award watch lists are starting to leak out. They did the Thorpe Award not too long ago. Man, I want to say maybe the Biletnikoff too recently. But no Longhorns on the list, so nothing to get into there. But there are some Longhorns that are getting shown some preseason love. The Butkus Award watch list was recently named. And how about this? DeMarvion Overshown named on the preseason Butkus Award watch list. Does he have a shot to be one of the best linebackers in the country? I'm not saying he's going to win the Butkus. I don't know if that's going to happen. That's highly unlikely, actually.
That's a great name, first of all.
Dick Butkus?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's one of the all-time greatest.
Just making sure we acknowledge that every time we talk about this award.
It's one of the all-time greatest.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm glad he has an award named after him. Like, he was obviously a beast, so he deserves it for that. But I think the name was the dagger there. When we were trying to figure out who to name this award after, the best linebacker in college football, yeah, he's got a case to be that guy, but the name had to be the deciding factor there.
Yeah, that and the reputation. Yeah, if it was Richard, it would have been a little different.
That's probably what made him such a angry player.
Man, he was. He was violent.
Made fun of him growing up.
College and pro.
I was bullied a lot.
Yeah, to answer your question, Rod, I don't think so. I mean, DeMarvion Overshown showed us a lot last year in his first year playing the position. And what made his 2020 even more impressive was the fact that he learned the position without a spring, right? New coach, new coaching staff. No spring, and he was still the best linebacker on Texas last year and made a lot of things happen. Did have some issues with missed tackles that you'd like to be corrected a little bit in 2021. If he can take that step, then maybe we're talking about an all-conference caliber linebacker. But KD, I feel like that's the ceiling. I don't think we'll ever be talking about DeMarvion Overshown. Hell, this is his senior year. I don't know if we're going to be talking about him as one of the best linebackers in the country, but my hope is we're talking about him as one of the best in the Big 12.
Yeah, he could be one of the most athletic linebackers in the country, and that has changed with schemes offensively, so we know that. Highest ceiling would be he's one of the best. He's not going to win the Butkus. I'd be shocked with that, but I have a lot of high hopes for him because of that spring you talk about, and he got better throughout the year. I mean, the biggest thing for him was coming down from safety. We've talked about it. Do you fill a hole, and do you go A to B? What's your route like? And the route was... it was pretty curvy early on, and then he just started sticking his nose in there to go with, you know, he's going to be able to cover. A name that I saw on this that I thought, God, it would have been nice if they would have gotten him. They got his brother, Colin Schooler, from Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Remember last year we were talking about that? Tony Fields and Colin Schooler. Does Texas go get them needing help there?
And they need Tony Fields in the league now. I think he's with the Browns, if I'm not mistaken.
He's in the league.
Dude, do you know that, now I got to go look at the Browns' actual depth chart. There is a former wide receiver at Texas who's now playing linebacker for the Browns.
What?
I swear. Maybe I was delusional and dreaming one day, but I swear. Go look at the Browns' roster. His name escapes me at this current time, but it blew my mind. It blew my mind. You got to look like their 90-man roster or whatever.
Okay,
it's crazy. Yeah, it's. I'm telling you, I know I'm. I could be delusional, but I'm like 95% sure it's the case. Because that's why I know that Tony Fields plays for them.
He played wide receiver at Texas, but he's a linebacker now for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, sorry. Let's get back to the conversation about linebackers and the Butkus Award. But with DeMarvion Overshown, one thing I think that helps DeMarvion Overshown, because I'm with you guys, he's not going to win the Butkus Award. But one thing that helps him is where the game is going.
Yeah.
You go look at the highest paid linebacker. We're talking about off-ball linebackers now here, too, not the hybrid guys on the outside. And Fred Warner is...
Yep.
The highest paid linebacker. You know, you're a 49ers fan, and 49ers fans are thrilled about it.
Yeah.
Because he's one of the only linebackers in the NFL that basically has coverage ability. Like, he can cover as well as safeties and some of the corners in the league. Like, he is that good. I know that sounds like, oh man, that's unbelievable, but he is really that good. You start looking at him, he's one of those guys that is not at a disadvantage. He's not a liability in coverage. There's a great stat about Fred Warner. This is what we're looking at about DeMarvion Overshown and why his skill set is a Sunday skill set. Next Gen Stats, they were highlighting the top 10 coverage players from last season, according to Advanced Metrics. The top 10, 9 of them were DBs, and Fred Warner was the 10th.
Wow.
Best coverage defender.
How about that?
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, we know DeMarvion Overshown is good in space, right? We know he can cover, so I'm with you.
Yeah.
And I think... you know, of all of the draft-eligible Longhorns for the 2022 draft, DeMarvion Overshown might have the chance to be the first guy off the board from Texas.
Yeah, not saying he's going to get drafted in the first round or anything, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, he's up there. He's definitely in that conversation because Bijan's a couple years away, Alfred Collins a couple of years away. There are other guys on this roster who will go higher in the draft than DeMarvion Overshown will, but in terms of just 2022, he's got
Montrell
a shot.
Meander.
There it is. Good call.
Montrell Meander. Sorry to interrupt you.
Wow. That's the guy you're talking about?
Yeah.
He finished at Grambling State. I was going through Texas and couldn't find him.
It blew my mind the other day. I was just looking at NFL rosters doing research. Montrell freaking Meander playing linebacker for the Browns.
6'2", 215.
Right? I'm like, what the? But that's and they drafted that kid from Notre Dame, right?
Which one?
Did they draft the Notre Dame kid?
Oh, Owusu Koramoah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, the Browns did.
Yes.
Is that who the Browns got?
Yeah, I'm just saying, look at the kind of linebackers.
Oh, yeah,
they're one
I know
of those groups. Joe Woods, their DC, they're getting all of these Big 12 type linebackers. So they want these guys who are svelte and just can run. But anyway, continue. Sorry, random nugget there.
That was worth it.
I was shocked to see Montrell Meander playing linebacker. I was like, why? What? It was crazy. Anyway.
I totally forgot that guy existed.
Everybody did.
Wow.
Until he's playing linebacker for the Browns.
In the NFL.
Guy. In the league.
Good for him.
Good for him.
Good job, Montrell.
Good job, Montrell Meander.
Yeah. Repping Grambling State.
That means Montrell Estelle is going to be a linebacker in the league.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Texas guy named Montrell who plays wide receiver. I think that's
Hey, Montrell Flowers. If we're going to continue that, shout out.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Go. Anyway, yeah,
I'm excited to see DeMarvion Overshown this year, though. Once again, I think the ceiling for him is an all-conference player, but you can get an all-conference linebacker on this team. You'll take that in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because we've all got questions about the linebackers. We know the coaching staff had questions about the linebackers. That's why they got five dudes from the portal this offseason. But if you can at least have one, you'd love to have a few guys that you can rely on, but if you can at least have one that you can count on down after down, that would be massive for PK in this defense.
And I will say this, DeMarvion Overshown, if he does have a really good year, he's got the highest upside to make money off of apparel from name, image, and likeness.
Agent Zero.
With the Agent Zero thing, with the
bands. He's a flashy player.
He's flashy.
Yeah.
I think he's got a shot. Because if he's good, though, he's got to be good for people to actually want to wear his merchandise. But he's got an outside shot. All right, let's move on, because there are a couple of the Longhorns we got, at least that got recognition, I should say, for the preseason award watch list. The John Mackey Award, which is awarded to the best tight end in the country. How about this? Getting some love here. Cade Brewer.
Yeah.
On the Mackey Award watch list. BK does not seem impressed. So look on his face.
I was surprised, too. I was surprised.
The look on BK's face. It's like, what?
He was hoping Jatavion Sanders would be on that. I know him.
Yeah. I mean, Cade Brewer's a great kid. He's done a lot for the University of Texas. I think he's the third best tight end at Texas, guys. I don't know how he's in the mix for best tight end in the country when I don't think he's a top two tight end on campus right now. One of those guys would be Jared Wiley, who we've already seen. The other one would be Jatavion Sanders, who we haven't seen. But five-star, the highest recruit in this class for Texas, highest-ranked recruit. I don't want to take any shots about what he does off the field. I got to make sure I get that disclaimer in there.
You're right.
Highest recruit. How you would test that. Yeah, no, I mean,
we've had some clubs where you could have.
Yeah.
Now, Holton Hill was the highest recruit for Texas a few years ago.
DB High. Shout out.
There you go. Exactly.
Ricky give him a run for his money.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't start smoking until Major stole his woman.
Okay, that's true.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. So he wouldn't have been the highest recruit.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right about that.
And it took him a while to get here. I hope Cade Brewer has a great year. Lost some weight. I think that has a chance to help him out a little bit. You know, he's got the ability to block and catch. I don't think he's elite at either one of those things, but all around wise, he gives you something. So he's going to have a spot on this team. But yeah, KD, I had a Mackey Award watch list feels like a reach and a half on this one for Cade Brewer.
I'd be surprised if he's on the third Big 12 team for tight end. I mean, with the two guys you have at Iowa State, Stogner at Oklahoma, and then if you want to go nationally, I mean, the best tight end in my eyes. And the guy who's going to be a first-round pick is Michael Mayer at Notre Dame. He's going to be a sophomore. Baby Gronk.
Aggie's got a good one.
Aggie Wiedermeyer is really good. And hell, the kid after that who came in. I mean, they've got two that would probably be number one at Texas.
No, I agree with you. I don't know how that happened. They just I don't know who's doing. And that is no disrespect to Cade Brewer either, but he is competing to be the starting tight end here at Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know how much playing time he's going to end up getting between them playing 11 personnel and not only having one tight end on field, and Sark wanting a more explosive element within his offense.
Another guy, too, to watch out for. I mean, LSU was an S show last year. Eric Gilbert is going to be, he was a huge five-star recruit. He's going to be at Georgia, and we know what Georgia's trying to do offensively and open it up, and I think you're going to see Eric Gilbert a lot.
Is that an A-R-I-K?
It's an A-R-I-K.
Yeah, classic Eric
spelling. Oh, yeah. That's becoming more popular.
It is.
This random spelling of Eric.
We had the Casey, who's the school president for Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
K-Y-S-E. I had never seen that one.
Yeah. That at least sounds like Casey. A-R-I-K does not sound like Eric.
Yeah. It sounds like Arik.
Arik or Arik.
Arik.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah,
I'm not getting Eric from
Roderick.
Yeah.
Independent Roderick's gone.
Roderick, and I have been called Roderick before.
It was a sub teacher, wasn't it?
It's crazy. Yeah, it was a teacher substitute, but still, no need to call any Roderick. Have you ever
Roderick?
Has anybody ever even been named that in life?
Mm.
Roderick?
Probably someone, but it's Roderick.
It's unfortunate. If that's the case.
If there were an apostrophe in between Ro and Rick in your name, would you be a Roderick? Like, is that how you get Roderick out of
guess
that spelling?
You would. Yeah, Roderick.
Huh.
Hey, I'm going to have a son one day. So
Roderick Jr.?
It wouldn't be a junior. Yeah. It'd be Roderick.
I don't know how that would work. He'd be the first.
He'd be the first.
He'd be like, wait, is he not a junior? It's spelled the same way. No, he's Roderick. I'm Roderick.
Oh,
it'd be
man.
A bad bit.
Bad bit. Oh, it'd be a terrible bit. Okay, how about this? Keandre Coburn also got some love for the Chuck Bednarik Award, annually given to the defensive player in college football annually. As judged as the Maxwell Club to be the best in the country, but it's the best defensive player in college football. he's not going to win that award either, gentlemen, just because, first of all,
it's too wide open.
Yeah, it's too wide open. D-tackles don't win flashy awards like that. But in terms of the importance of Keandre Coburn, I think we've talked about that. He's important, and he's a leader of what is arguably the deepest position on the team. If that position truly thrives, the interior D-line, you could be looking at Texas making life a whole lot easier on the a linebacking core that's going to be largely unproven. BK talked about that. Cornerbacks that need to step up in the Big 12 and not be a liability like they were more oftentimes than not last year. All those questions about the defense, even those outside linebacker, defensive end hybrid positions, that jack position, who's going to play those? All those positions, in my opinion, who there are question marks about, I think they can all benefit from having a dominant presence in the interior of the D-line.
Totally.
I'm talking about dominant.
I agree.
Where they basically have to, basically demand a double team.
Yep.
At least one of those guys demands a double team on every play.
Yeah, I think he could be the most important guy on this defense, but he's not going to win this thing. I mean, it's just, you've got every position, as we kind of mentioned. So Kayvon Thibodeau, go through it. There are a lot of talented guys, obviously, and that could go to any position.
Flashy.
But he could be the most important guy for Texas defensively.
Yeah, I mean, D-line being good is not a want, it's a need. Like, I think the defensive line has to be good at Texas for this defense to be solid and conference championship contending worthy.
Yeah.
The defensive line has to be good, because that's the one thing that you think you can bank on with this Texas defense right now. You know you're going to have questions in the back seven. You got to make sure the big boys up front are carrying their weight, because you've got talent, you've got experience, you've got more proven commodities on the defensive line than you do anywhere else on defense. Those guys have to deliver this year.
No, I'm with you. I will say this. I think we all agree there's too much talent there for you not to find key game changers at that spot. Now, we don't know. We hope it's Keandre Coburn, but maybe it's not. If it's not, but, I mean, you still got Tavondre Sweat.
Yeah.
Still got Alfred Collins in there.
You got guys in there.
Moro Ojimo showed out in the spring game. There's just so many different. I just can't see it being a position to underachieve. We never mentioned Vernon Broughton. You're right. We just look over him.
Yeah.
I totally agree. There might be six guys at that interior D-line position that could end up being guys in who I would put in regular rotation at most Power 5 schools.
Yep.
That's how deep they are at that position. So give Tom Herman a little bit of credit. It's one thing he actually did really, really well.
Conditioning will be huge.
Conditioning, which is why Snacks said they wanted him to lose weight, right? They
may have to lose the nickname.
He lost, close to 15 pounds. He said they listed him at 348. He was at 335 when he spoke to Chad. It's good.
Maybe getting the 320s.
Yeah, I would say so.
These guys are dropping weight, man. Joey Bosa got down to 260s and body fat at 8%. I saw A'shaun Robinson's down to 308 and feels a lot better.
If you had a dietitian, a nutritionist, and, they have the resources, to do it. And, obviously trainers and the best in the world. You can do it. It's like Hollywood does the same thing.
No, you're right.
You think they keep those Hollywood bodies all year round?
No.
Matt Damon only gets swole when he's got to get swole. And then he's got a dad bod the rest of the time.
Yeah.
And they can do that in 2 months.
As he should.
But they use HGH, so they cheat, actually.
Yeah.
I'll take that back.
Is that illegal?
Oh, yeah. HGH is legal. It's not illegal.
Yeah, it's not illegal for them.
Oh, yeah.
It's not illegal for them.
Athletes, right.
It's outlawed for athletes. Like, it's against the rules for athletes.
Sylvester and Arnold were doing.
No, they can do HGH all day.
They were doing everything back in the
man.
Day.
Oh, man. Yeah, just drinking breast milk. All the time.
Hey, you don't need a lot of resources to play the best fantasy sports game out there, and that would be Underdog Fantasy. You're all good, Rod. We appreciate it. Rod would have been one of those guys who would have been fun with fantasy football.
Oh, no doubt.
Look, this is the best way to do it, BK, because there's no trades, no lineup setting, no in-season management. A lot of times that just can weigh people down. This is the best way to do it.
Yeah, season-long fantasy football contest. So easy to sign up, and they have contests for small spenders and big spenders. So if you're serious about fantasy, you want to invest a lot of money with a chance to win a lot of money, Underdog has your back. But yeah, if you just want to dip your toe in a little bit and have some fun being a part of fantasy football, Underdog Fantasy is for you. So easy to play. It's also so easy to sign up. It's a free download in the App Store or the Google Play Store. If you use the promo code RADIO, you'll get $25 in bonus cash. So you can basically join for free. You can be a part of season-long fantasy contests for football or daily fantasy contests for football or baseball. KD, it's the best way to fantasy.
Yeah, $25 to enter, and it's over $3.5 million in total prizes. I've already downloaded the app. It's really easy. They also, if you don't like it, they guarantee your money back up to $100. That tells you they believe in the product. So does Mark Cuban. So does Kevin Durant. Lots of people are in on this, and understandably so.
No doubt about it. So easy to use, so easy to play, so easy to download. Underdog Fantasy, it's free, and make sure you use that promo code RADIO for $25 in bonus cash. All right, Rod, Bijan Robinson got a little bit of love. No surprise there. I think we saw his name on multiple.
Yeah, the Doak Walker preseason award watch list, as well as the Maxwell preseason award watch list. Maxwell is just best player in the country, I believe, best player in the nation. And Doak Walker is awarded to the best running back in the country. We all agree.
Well, he can win the Doak.
Yes. I was going to say, I think we're all in agreement he can win the Doak. He's not going to win the Maxwell. You're just
gonna
I
didn't think Deontay Foreman was going to win it.
You know what? That was a surprise. I think that was a surprise.
I thought he was a really good back, but like, if you're going to win the Doak?
Dude, he didn't start the first game of the season, if I'm not mistaken.
You're not.
Remember, Charlie Strong didn't want to start him, even though he was averaging like 5 or 5.5 yards a carry.
We need to get over that. It's been a problem recently.
It is. I don't know why our history is repeating itself.
At least when Charlie realized who the best running back on the team was, he gave that guy carries.
41 without a shoe in Lubbock or whatever it was.
It just took him a little while, but you're right. Once he did, he ran him into the ground.
Tom Herman didn't figure that one out.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, Tom Herman never made that.
He did the last two games of the season.
Sorry.
Yeah. Boom.
Yeah, when they also figured
out. They didn't have Keontae Ingram available. Yeah. So who knows if Tom Herman would have figured it out on his own. I know.
I'm with you. It's tough.
Probably already had a banged up Sam at that point. I don't think all that just came down in the bowl game. And also we figured out that we got a center that can reach block that works out better with the blocking scheme.
Also true.
Good times, guys. Good times.
Hey, you got Sark. I'm complaining.
Yeah.
Yeah, an upgrade.
I'm excited.
It's going to be an upgrade no matter what. I think our biggest question is how much of one
right
away.
SEC worthy? We shall see.
We shall see.
KD, what's coming up?
2027?
We just need a little while to get ready.
Don't say it. What's on One and Done today, man?
One of the best dynasties in college football history. It was one that I know Rod was into, I was into, and completely changed the brand. When we're talking about maybe this team going to the SEC, it's really because of one guy, and he doesn't have very much longer left. We're going to get into it.
I like that 5-star recruit at Kentucky. He's been here, and he's going to stay here. It's One and Done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
You know, as we're talking about all this conference realignment and where stuff may go, it's funny for me just to hear schools and programs that never would have been mentioned early in my lifetime that definitely are mentioned now, and understandably so. And we've talked about the SEC and the possibility of them even trying to expand beyond Texas and Oklahoma. And BK, a name we hear a lot, is Florida State. Well, Florida State in my dad's lifetime, or as a child or as a kid in college, was a lot different than my childhood, where early on Florida State was just building it, and they were kind of one of those new teams. I remember them going on the road to take on Michigan and not getting a home back. It was like, we'll go there twice. And they had swag, they had style. I know Rod was really into Florida State, but going back to Dion, and I remember early on in the mid-'80s just thinking, wow, this team is just fun. Now, Miami was really the team that was winning all the championships, but there was something about Florida State, something about Chief Osceola, something about just that whole stadium, obviously the tomahawk chop and the chant, that was really easy for kids to get into. And the uniforms were badass, too. Yes, that does matter when you're 9 years old.
Yep, it does.
And you've got guys with style and swag, and they're winning a lot. Florida State became one of those schools that a lot of people like me in Austin were watching Texas, and that was going to be your number one school. But this felt different. This felt like big-time college football. And for what was an all-female school that was a teaching college up until the 50s, it's remarkable what he was able to do there and how to turn that around. And, of course, I'm talking about Bobby Bowden. So he was there for 34 years, coaching at Florida State, went 3-15, 98-4, and truly built them into something different, something national. He won 12 ACC Conference Championships. I remember their first loss against Tiki Barber and Rondé Barber at Virginia. I still think Warrick Dunn got in on the direct snap, but that goes to show you that even for a kid in Austin, Like, I was all in with them. They won the title in 93, won the title in 99. I'm sure he looks back at even the 315 wins that he has and is probably thinking, man, I should have gotten a couple more. Because BK, that's how dominant they were. Florida State finished in the top four 14 straight years. Like, I can go through the accolades all day long.
They finished in the top four 14 years in a row?
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah.
I knew they were good. I knew they were really good. I didn't realize they were that good.
Dominant.
Wow.
And to only get two is where Florida State fans may look back at that. I'm sure Bobby will look back at it and say, how did we not get five or six? Like Miami got five in the 80s.
Like Nick Saban's Alabama has not finished in the top four 14 years in a row.
No.
Now they've got more national titles, so I'm not saying that dynasty is worse than the Florida State one, but that just shows you how consistently good that they were. And who knows, if there was a playoff back then, maybe Florida State could have had a couple more chances to win titles. That's ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, I grew up kind of with Bobby Bowden. You guys were more sports aware of what was going on as he was doing his thing at Florida State, so I'll kind of cede to y'all. But, man, I remember him being dominant and just thinking he was one of those larger-than-life college football characters, one of those guys who was, like, bigger than the sport at the time. And I'm in a ton of the game, and I hate to hear that he's not doing so well.
Yeah, one of Mac Brown's mentors.
No doubt.
Bobby Bowden. Yeah, no, I loved me some Bobby Bowden. That was one of my five schools I narrowed down to. Texas A&M, Penn State.
I thought
Colorado,
you were going to Florida State.
And Florida State. I was really close. I loved my visit to Florida State. It was awesome. I was really close to going to Florida State. But, you know, staying close to home, was a good pitch by R.C. Slocum saying, you want to make sure your mom and dad can go to the game. You don't think about that when you're 17, but somebody saying that, you know, that really, really affected my decision.
Yeah.
I don't know about anybody else, but I was like, oh, mom and dad got to go to every game. So, Big 12. Stay in Texas.
Stay in Texas.
That's why I stayed in Texas. But, man, if I could have gone anywhere, it would have been Florida State. No place was cool. They were the it school.
Yeah.
That was the it school. That was the coolest school. They had the coolest uniforms and probably the coolest traditions at the time.
Yeah. No, they did. I mean, talk about Chief Osceola and Renegade and just all that. Like, it was a scene.
It was
cool. And so they joined the ACC and just dominated the ACC, especially for the first 5 or 6 years. And it kind of reminds you that you can be dominant if you're not in that major conference. Because the ACC, even then, that was a huge coup for them. Miami hadn't joined the ACC yet. And so they get Florida State in there, and you get them for especially football, but then also baseball and some of the other sports they're really good at. But it really was all about football, and that built that brand. It built that school. It is Florida State is not Florida State without Bobby Bowden. Bowden's 91. He was hospitalized last October, tested positive for COVID. He came in, had a lengthy hospital stay for an infection in his leg. And then he's got COVID. And he came out, and there really wasn't a lot of talk about what's going on, but I was hearing that, you know, who knows how long he's going to be around, and there was some medical issue going on that you thought was beyond the infection and also that he had recovered from COVID. But it came out last week. It first came out as an undisclosed terminal medical issue, but his son Terry came out and said he's got pancreatic cancer. He's 91 years old. And some of the stories that I'm reading now about people that were part of that whole crew. I mean, look, he had some really good coaches there. Mark Richt was there. Brad Scott, who is actually, what is it, Chad Scott? Who was the Clemson OC? Then went to?
Jeff Scott.
Yeah, it's his dad. Brad Scott was the OC, got the head coaching job at South Carolina. Mickey Andrews was his longtime DC. When Scott left, Mark Richt took over. Chuck Amato was a big name there. Chuck Amato was one of those guys who was in the kitchen and was getting a lot of this stuff done, because it was crazy the recruiting classes they get. I remember they signed the number one recruit overall, Nick Maddox, a running back, who hadn't been looking at Florida State in the last days, like, yeah, I'm going to Florida State. Like, the pull they had,
it was
a top five class every year, and that's one of those, if they finished third or fourth, you'd say, what happened?
Yeah, and you're right. That's why... It, a lot of parallels, not a ton, but direct parallels. But you could compare Bobby Bowden's dominance to Mac Brown here.
Yeah.
Where he did have that long run. Texas became the it school. But Longhorn fans, like Florida State fans, believe ultimately that he underachieved.
Yeah. Should've
Even though
more.
He was dominant.
Yeah.
And even though you had, you know, setting records and, you know, kind of redefining the standard.
Hey, since they're getting no crap at all, can I go ahead and throw another name in there that no one ever really throws in? Because they throw in names like that. But this guy was a good technical X's and O's coach. Bob Stoops got to look back. He only got one, too.
Mm.
And how many conference championships did he have? And they were given opportunities probably when they shouldn't have. 08 and other spots like that.
This is true.
It's hard, man.
Yeah.
Winning national championships is hard.
That's the final answer.
There you go. And that's what Sark should have said.
Yeah.
That's what he should have said.
Yeah. Winning national championships is hard. Especially
man.
In the pre-playoff era. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, only two teams and computers making decisions on those two teams made it very, very difficult to find your way in. I had to fact check you, man. Not that I like doubt you, but that stat you gave about them finishing top four 14 years in a row, it was just too unbelievable for me to not look up.
It's real, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's Wilt Chamberlain.
87
stats.
To 2000.
That's nuts.
It's insane.
That is nuts. Yeah.
That is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
All legal, right, for Bobby Bowden?
Oh, yeah. I'm
free
sure.
shoes, baby. Free
yeah,
shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. Free shoes, you. Steve Spurrier had fun with that. But yeah, I mean, look, they were one of those schools that it didn't matter what conference they were in, they were the school to go to. I mentioned Chuck Amato. So Amato was a big time coach for them, then went on to NC State. You probably remember that. This is where it gets really, it's just life. Life can be so tough that there are people reaching out to him and want to have that last conversation. And Amato, there was a good article in the Fayetteville Observer that I read last night that was talking about Chuck Amato, said he knew this was likely the last time he was going to speak to Bobby Bowden. And he just wanted to, you know, tell him he loves him and how much he meant to him. And Bowden said jokingly, "I know you're an emotional guy. Don't start crying on me." And Amato laughed and said, "Coach, I started crying 15 minutes ago." But the article does a good job of kind of getting into what they talked about. They're both really religious guys and talked about serving God and the purpose for their life on and off the field, but kind of also, you know, where they're at right now. And they didn't talk, so the article references that they didn't talk about the illness a lot, but they got into just life and what it means to them. So in a way, you're talking about what life means to you, knowing that life is about to be over pretty soon for one of the best ever in Bobby Bowden.
It's very sad.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Bowden did say, "I'm at peace," and they talked for nearly an hour and didn't talk about the medical stuff, but got into family and old games and just all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Bowden and Amato won 8 ACC titles between 1992 and 1997, and obviously every year finished in the top four nationally.
How many video game teams did you play with, coached by Bobby Bowden?
Oh, God. Anyone I could. And then once they went to historical teams, right away I had to go to 93. Because Charlie Ward and Warwick Dunn were two of my favorites ever, and just loaded that up. And what I would do, too, is if you have a Peter Warwick, who's a freshman, maybe redshirting, you know what I do. I insert him in there. At least returning punts.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Sorry about that redshirt guy. It's not happening.
Not happening. We're going to set you up and get ready to go. So, yeah, really sad. I know Natalie, who's a Florida State, you know, one of our sales executives, I will say.
Account executive.
Mm-hmm. She went to Florida State, grew up at Florida State, did stuff, and knew Bobby Bowden. And she texted me last week when the news came out. She's like, "I'm just crying right now." Look, he's going to turn 92, hopefully, in November. He's 91 right now. But pancreatic cancer, it is terminal, and there are a lot of people, I'm sure Mac is going to at some point, make that phone call and have that last hour-long conversation with Bobby.
Mm. Crazy, man. Tough news for college football. The legendary Bobby Bowden going through some serious health issues right now. But yeah, one of those larger-than-life characters, man. You almost can't talk about the history of college football without bringing up Bobby Bowden and what he was able to do at Florida State.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Big part of the history of the sport. Good stuff. One and done here on the Triple Option with RBKD. When we come back, it will be time for Off the Record. Did y'all know that Mike Tyson is participating in the 2020 Olympic Games?
Really?
Well, I don't know if it's him, but it's someone who at least was very inspired by Iron Mike. We'll give you the details next.
D.D. Mangudu.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain man comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East. Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
Off the Record time here on the Triple Option with RBKD alongside Kevin Dunn and Rod Baber's unoccupied chair and BK Brad Kellner.
You said he was contemplating whether he was going to go through with it or not, so he's outside.
Recording the live spots?
Yeah, I was just kidding around.
Or the wedding.
The wedding. No, he's definitely going to do the live spots, he said.
So he just needed...
Wedding's up in the air now.
He needed a few more seconds in this break.
Rod just came in. He's like, what are you all talking about? Don't ruin this stuff. Don't ruin this for it.
I came in, all I heard was weddings off or something. What are you talking about?
I was kidding around. I said that he said Rod Babers, and I go, Rod is contemplating whether he's going to go through with it or not. He said the live spots of the wedding.
No, I'm not having cold feet. None of that. All right. I was just doing multitasking during the show.
Well, it didn't sound like KD was joking, so I'm glad we got that cleared up.
No, I know. But I said, when I came in, that's all I heard. So I just want to clear that up in case the future missus is listening.
Yeah.
Smart. Yeah. Very smart.
How bad would we feel?
If I was a runaway groom?
I'd throw you in there though.
Nah, I didn't do anything.
That was a story that Jake Plummer was a runaway groom.
Really?
Yeah.
I could see that.
That was like one of the rumors up there.
You know what his nickname
when I played
was?
For the Broncos, that he was a runaway groom.
Remember his nickname? Going back to Arizona State.
The Snake?
When they beat Nebraska. Jake the Snake.
Jake the Snake. You're right.
She should have known.
No, I don't.
She should have gone with Keith Poole.
I don't know if it's like 100% true, but that was one of the rumors about him, that he had been a runaway groom.
Maybe that's how he got the Snake nickname. It had nothing to do with his play on the field.
It was not endearing, yes.
No. She just called him a snake, and word spread after that incident.
That's funny.
Well, guys, one of the most infamous yet so famous moments in sports history was Mike Tyson's famous 1997 ear bite of Evander Holyfield during a boxing match. I mean, everybody who was around.
I watched it live, I believe.
No, I did too.
I watched it live.
It just sucked because all of us wanted Tyson to be back, and we've been trying to believe that for 5 or 6 years, that was the final statement. Even we kind of knew it, that it's over with.
And was that the first or the second one?
I think it may have been the second one.
Yes, so it might have been the second one, wasn't it?
Yeah,
because they fought twice.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, continue. Sorry.
So that moment.
Old man moment.
Obviously infamous. One of the most well-known moments in boxing history. Kind of reared its ugly head at the 2020 Olympic Games, gentlemen. How about this? Yesterday, a Moroccan boxer was disqualified for taking a page out of Mike Tyson's playbook. He tried to chomp down on his opponent's ear during the match.
Wow.
Yunus Bala is the name of the boxer. He was trailing. He was getting dominated in the fight. And he leaned in towards his opponent, New Zealand's David Naika.
Oh, no.
And he basically leaned into his right ear and had his mouth open wide and made contact with the ear.
Did he bite down?
Now, he tried to, but thankfully Naika was able to pull back in time. And also, he credits the fact that Yunus Bala had a mouthpiece in, and there was, like, sweat around there, so he wasn't able to, like, get a
clean
grip.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there was contact chomp made, mouth to ear, but no serious damage, not like a chunk of ear removed like we
Tyson
saw.
Tyson got a chunk of
Evander
ear.
Yeah, he did.
Tyson
yeah
got a chunk of ear.
Oh, yeah.
A chunk of ear off.
So this one wasn't quite that bad, but yeah, this 22-year-old boxer, Yunus Bala, he was getting dominated in the fight.
Moroccan, huh?
He was ticked about it. And he actually, like, they continued the fight. They didn't stop it right then and there. I don't think the ref realized how egregious it was. Naika complained to the ref after the round and was like, yo, did you not see that? Now, see what just happened there? What
That's
he tried
crazy
to do? He tried to Tyson me. And they actually ended up finishing the rest of the fight.
Who won the fight then?
Naika did.
Naika did.
Yeah, he ended up winning unanimously.
Because he was dominating.
And then
anyway,
after the fact, the guy who already lost, Yunus Bala, got disqualified. I don't know
after the fact
what that did. Like,
I want to know his reason. Did they ever ask him what he was thinking, like why he did it, what motivated him?
No, we didn't.
To him? Okay.
We didn't get an interview.
I'm sure he didn't want to do any interviews. I'm sure he's embarrassed about that.
Right.
As a boxer, Mike Tyson, I don't even know what reason he gained. We just assumed he was psychotic.
Crazy.
Yeah,
we were right at that time. You know,
we don't need to know what reason Mike Tyson has. We know he's insane.
I'm proud of Mike right now.
Mike
had his own issues.
Mike is the greatest redemption story in American sports history.
You know, a lot of people laugh at that. I think you could fairly make that argument.
There's no question. He's beloved now. He went to jail for rape.
Yeah.
He's beloved.
Yeah, biting a ear was down the list.
Exactly. That's down the list of stuff that Mike Tyson.
I mean, eat your children.
Eat toes when he would eat their kids, right? The Robin Givens stuff.
He was just joking, just like KD was about wedding thing. You
Same
know.
Thing.
You could joke about eating kids, right?
Oh, we got that soft? That's true.
No, I'm kidding. You probably shouldn't joke about that.
You should joke
I shouldn't
about
tell
that.
Someone you're going to eat their kids.
Eat your kids?
It's a bad bit right
it's
there.
It's a bad bit, man.
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that?
Your back is broken. Spinal.
That one's always great.
Naika.
Great. What do you mean by that?
Spinal.
Yeah, I don't know if that clears it up.
Yeah.
Spinal.
Is it really broken?
Okay. The guy who won the fight did interview with local New Zealand reporters after the match, and he did say, quote, luckily he had his mouth guard in and I was a bit sweaty, but come on, man, this is the Olympics, get your S together, end quote. That's what he said. But he also made light of the moment a little bit later on social media, sharing a picture of the attempted chomp, and he wrote as the caption, somebody's got a sweet tooth.
Wow. Okay. Nice feeling himself.
With a candy emoji. And I will say this, Bala did respond on Instagram. So the guy who tried the eating of the ear did respond on Instagram. He didn't have any interviews, but apparently he was getting some hateful messages.
I'm sure.
Following the bout. And he said, quote, to all the people coming from New Zealand, with all my respect to this country, but you're not showing respect to yourselves. I will not answer any bad DM or comment from you. And sorry, I have big things waiting for me, end quote.
What? So he didn't apologize
and he told fans not to reach out if they didn't have anything nice to say.
He's right, though. I mean, don't be harassing him on social media, trying to cyberbully him.
He should apologize
publicly.
You can't be calling out other people after what you did.
Yeah.
Pretty much. You should stay off social media.
You can't be criticizing other people for being mad at you for trying to bite someone's ear off during a boxing match. That's not a good bit right there.
It's like the panic move, I guess, when you're getting beat.
Right.
Getting dominated.
I don't know. You know, I've been dominated in sports before. Look at me. Not a great athlete. I never once thought about biting somebody's ear.
You couldn't get close enough to him.
I couldn't get close enough to him.
That is true.
Well done, right?
Good old pick and roll, you could have.
Yeah, no, there were plenty of times where I could have made that happen.
Taking a knee out.
In multiple sports where, I could have.
Did you ever pull a Draymond and, kick somebody in the crotch?
No.
Good.
Didn't think about doing that either.
Mm. Draymond to pull one of those.
Oh, all the
time. He's frustrated. He
does it all the time. Yeah, no Grayson Allen stuff either where I'm trying to sweep the leg on the court. None of that was happening with me either.
Gabe Maneki back in the day gave a couple nut shots as they're running down the court.
Yeah. Oh, really, running down the court?
Really subtle, though.
I was like, how does that work?
Really subtle.
How do you get away with that? Like your motion as you're running?
There's a lot of bodies. You just give a quick little tap.
That's kind of what Draymond claims. He claims like that's his rebounding style. Like, that's his technique.
Flails his legs. Okay.
My
leg.
That's
one, Draymond.
They go kicking, you know?
You know, well, back then, with basketball back in the day, this is what all the old heads tell me, is you could stab guys on the court and there wouldn't even be a foul called.
Rod and I would see guys get
just
shot.
Just tape it up, keep it moving.
So a nut shot is like, they almost called a foul on the guy complaining about getting nut shotted.
It's why it was tape delay back in the day. You could get murdered.
Yeah, that's like getting the butt tap these days. They just gave those out to encourage you.
Boom. Yeah.
Good job, man. Good shot.
There you go.
Yeah. Good job, man.
Unreal. So we've had some pretty bizarre stories from the Olympics. We'll talk about some of those affecting the U.S. team a little bit later. But, I figured y'all would get a kick out of that one. We had an attempted Mike Tyson ear-biting situation in a boxing match, same sports, at the Olympics earlier today.
I'm going to get back to Mike, I'm sure.
Yeah. He probably will. At some point, I want you to talk about the Australian swimmer who won gold. Did you see that?
Oh, Titmus?
Yeah, Titmus.
Yeah, great name.
Titmus. You see this one, Rod?
I'm disappointed she beat Katie Ledecky, the American, but a name like that, you can't be too upset.
Ariane Titmus.
T-I-T-M-U-S.
I like that.
I didn't realize she had a first name. I thought it was like one of those soccer players.
She should just go by
Titus. Name? One name?
You got to go by that.
You're going to treat her like Kobe and Shaq now? She just LeBron. She's just Titus.
Yeah. Even if she wasn't good, she should get that treatment. But she's really good.
She is.
She is really good.
All right. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. There is Off the Record for you on a Tuesday. When we return, we'll return to the Texas-Oklahoma to the SEC conversation. If you missed it earlier today, the two universities officially reached out to the SEC in hopes of becoming a member in 2025. We'll debate if it will take that long for that to happen. And also, a game that I'm really looking forward to this year, more than I was before. I'll give you the details on that next.